All right, Wednesday evening, 10, 11, 23. All right, we're going to look at naming and mapping the powers, part 8. All right. Okay. Isaiah chapter 7 is going to be the first place we turn to. We know God has a plan for everything. But God has a time and a season for his plans. And so, if we don't have the Holy Spirit to lead us, how can we successfully do that? Because to me, if without that ingredient, you can't do it. Because we've talked about this is a spiritual house with spiritual armor, spiritual weapons, spiritual language. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not this outward institution. So God has a plan, and how do we find out his plan? The Holy Spirit's here to lead us and guide us into all truth, right? Mm-hmm. His word is truth. All right. It was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, the birth of Jesus, in detail. There are 7 prophecies in the Old Testament regarding his birth. We're just going to look at one. This is verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, why didn't it happen in his lifetime? I don't know these 7 prophecies of Jesus' birth in the Old Testament. I don't know how many years. I was thinking around 400, but I don't know that for sure. I couldn't pin down. How many?
I've heard it was 750 years from the time Isaiah prophesied that to Jesus.
So 750 years then? That's a long time. And to think, a virgin is pregnant? Yeah, that's pretty fantastic, right? All right. Amos 3:7 says, for surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. So that's what the Old Testament is full of, prophecies about where we live today. All right, think about it. Just, you know, that's mind-boggling. They probably thought he was a kook. It didn't happen in his time. But a virgin's going to conceive and have a baby? She's still a virgin, but she's pregnant? How could that be possible? All right. My point is this. God has revealed to his prophets all kinds of things throughout the Old Testament. Some have come to pass and some haven't. Like Daniel in the end time revelation that he had, along with the end time revelation that John had. Maybe worded a little differently, but kind of a lot of the same things. All right. God makes known his plan, but it's up to God when that plan is executed. It's not by our design, our plan, our timing, even our way. Like we know Jesus, he didn't do anything independent. He came when God said he would come. He was born just like born of a virgin. And then whenever he got of age, then God began after he went into the wilderness, was tested of the devil. He first was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, went to the desert, went through his training, and then God sent him on a journey. And that journey was not his plan, it was his Father's plan. Totally. He said, I don't do anything independently of my Father. He gives me the words to speak and I speak them. He didn't speak independently. He didn't act independently. Okay, let's keep going here. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3. Let's look at this for just a little bit. God makes known his plan, but it's up to God when it's executed. This is 3, starting with verse 1 there. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? In other words, a man's plan. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. What is that travail? I believe it's the Holy Ghost in us. God's timing. God's ways. Okay? When it comes to naming and mapping the powers, we have established that it is not by the hand of man, but by the Spirit of God. It has to be that way. Why? Because our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not just the fist. Our weapons, physical weapons. These are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All right? If Jesus himself could only do a mighty work or cast out a demon by the finger of God, then we can do no less, right? We can't just take it on ourselves just to do stuff. That's what's wrong with the church today. They just do stuff. Probably a lot of the church aren't even filled with the Spirit. How can they do the works of God if they've not even received their empowerment to do so? When Jesus laid down the Great Commission, what did he do? Go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Jesus didn't do his ministry till he received the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness, was tested by the devil, then he came out full of the Holy Ghost and power. All right, we have the Holy Spirit to help us with this endeavor. We've read the scripture several times throughout the last few weeks. The Holy Spirit keeps bringing it home. This is Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. When we are talking about going in and mapping an area, taking out an entity, it says we don't know what we should even pray for, much less act on. We should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is all according to the will of God. His time, his season, his plan. We are never to act independently. It's a dead work. God can't bless our plan, only his plan. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, those that are called to his purpose, they have to go through this. You know how I know the plan of God? You know how I know the call of God? It all comes this way. Everything you've heard over all these years, it's come this way. This is how it comes, by praying in the Spirit. Every decision you make, everything you do. You wonder why you're in the mess you're in? If you're in a mess, anybody listening to what I'm saying tonight? Anybody, if you're in a mess, how did you get there? If you were following this, you wouldn't have, right? Because it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? It sure will. When you get this, it will keep you from stepping out in the flesh ever. Until you got the green light here, you don't go. You set it a light. If it's red, do you go? If you do, you're a fool. If you've got something God wants you to do and you don't get the green light and you go, it's like going in a red light in the car. You are a fool. Probably a bridge out ahead. That's what happens with the plans of men. That's why the Spirit helps us. He says, helps our infirmities. What are those infirmities? Well, I don't know. What does the word infirmity mean there? Weaknesses. All right, what are our weaknesses? Getting in the flesh. You can't get much weaker than that.
One of the meanings in the Greek means inability to produce results.
All right. We don't have any ability into ourselves to do anything, really. We don't have ability to do God's will or God's works. That's why the gates of hell have prevailed against the church, because the church doesn't even know about this. A lot of the church knows nothing even about this right here. Then it talks about renewing your mind with the Word of God so you can know God's will. So personally, you can find out what God wants you to do, and then you can engage the Holy Spirit or hook up with Him, and then He will begin to reveal to you, okay, I want you to do this, and go here, and go there, and do this, and do that. That's that dependence on God and the Spirit, not independent. So it's that independent spirit that has a Jezebel church, a rogue church, a church that has not fulfilled the commission, has not done. Like Brother Oral Roberts, the Lord told him, five ministries in the whole world are doing what I told them to do. And I'm going, dear Lord, that's tragic. And we look around us, though, and we see we're in Armageddon right now with the deep state. We see why. The gates of hell has prevailed against the church instead of the church the gates of hell not prevailing against the church. Why? Either we're following the flesh or we're following the Spirit. There is no gray. Well, I'm kind of following the Spirit. Well, you can't kind of follow the Spirit. Either you are or you aren't. Or you can't kind of be following the flesh. You either are or you aren't. It's really simple, really, isn't it? All right, let's keep going here. Paul said that in the Spirit we speak mysteries. God's plan is indeed a mystery for the most part, but the Holy Spirit aids us to perceive that mystery. Mysteries all throughout, especially the New Testament. Now I'm not going to look at every word about mystery, but we're going to look at a few things. Have you ever heard the saying, it's a mystery to me? God's plan is a mystery to most people. You ask somebody, what's the will of God? I don't know. What's the will of God for your life? I don't know. No, really, I'm telling you. People don't know God's will for their life. They don't know. They go to church, and they try to do the right thing, and they go about their business and do their daily life, but they never in their whole life ever one time engage with the Holy Spirit and find out what He wants for them to do. They live and die and never know. It's not supposed to be that way. All right, let's look at a few scriptures on that. This first one's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Like I said, I just picked a few because there was a bunch. I was surprised. And some of them were not really, relevant to what I'm bringing tonight. All right, 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The gospel's a mystery. Jesus spoke to them in parables, trying to explain God's mystery. Strong's mystery means a secret. Paul made a statement about it's been hidden All this has been hidden. All this revelation Paul received from the Holy Spirit that we now can look to, those are the mysteries. God's mysteries, His secrets. He reveals those secrets to His servants, the prophets. And also revelation to His apostles, evidently, because of the foundation, the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Apostles and prophets lay down the foundation. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Well, I'll just start with one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Mysteries. That's the revelation. That's revelation. All right, 14:2. He tells again about charity. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. One place he says, when you pray in the Spirit, ask for the interpretation. You're speaking mysteries. You don't know what you're speaking. It's a mystery to you. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go back. Verse 1 there, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not in the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, they didn't understand it. Jesus spoke to them in parables, trying to get them to perceive the kingdom of God. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'd venture to say most Christians today don't even think God loves them. They feel inadequate, and they feel like, you know, God's just forsaken them. Well, they haven't tapped into where you get that assurance from. They may be born again, but if they don't have that empowerment inside of them, the Holy Ghost, to help them, lead them, to guide them into all truth, show them things to come, He's there to help them in every weak area. People that don't pray in tongues, I just go, how long has it been since you prayed in tongues? Well, you know, I did it once or twice in church. Well, that's not enough. But God hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. They're looking in the wrong place. They're looking to the preacher, or they're looking to somebody's books or something to find what they're looking for when it's right here. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's why we renew our mind, so we can know His will. It doesn't come automatic. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Only the Holy Spirit can help us do that. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a great chapter. It really is. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The mystery of his will. Most people, they have no idea what God's will is for them. It's a mystery to them. They'll say, it's a mystery to me. Most equate that whatever I do in the natural world that I'm good at, that's what God's called me to do. Just listen. That's exactly what they think. And nothing could be further from the truth. Usually it's probably going to be just the opposite of what you thought. I was the type of person, I didn't like to get up on stage. I didn't like to do things and all that kind of stuff like that. And here God tells me to go on TV. I'm going, say what? I don't know what it is. It's not natural for me. But it's not about what you're natural at. It's what you're supernatural at. Okay? It's bypassing your flesh. And I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. It has nothing to do with your, the dependency on your flesh and what you can do in your flesh. It's what you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit in you to do. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not in your flesh, not ever. Just because you've done something all your life don't mean that's what God's called you to do. And most people think that's it. I'd say 9 out of 10 think that. I really would. They don't have a clue. Nominal Christians don't have a clue. Especially those, nothing wrong with the Baptist, I was one. Nothing wrong with the Methodist, I was one. That's where I got born again, in a Methodist church. But they don't preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They leave out half of it. All right. Ephesians, okay, 1:9. Ephesians 3. Starting with verse 1 there. Or no, sorry. Ephesians 1. Wait a minute. Yeah, 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That's why we have these epistles. Oh, thank God. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You know what? In us is a mystery. And it's up to us to find out what that mystery is. It's been placed in us. Okay, Ephesians 6. Now we know about the armor of God here. But I want to read 19 and 20. You know, I've read to you the armor of God many times. It says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The mystery. All right, let's keep going. Colossians chapter 1, 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So that was his goal, to preach the mystery of the gospel. All right, Colossians 2. Verses 1 through 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, as the Spirit's been given to me for weeks now, it's all about the inside. It's not about the outside. It really isn't. A lot of people don't want to hear that, especially if you know, your whole world is this outside institutional learning center or whatever you want to call it. And I'm not saying don't go to church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But we can't do one without doing the other. All right, Colossians 4, verse 1. It says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So he's about revealing all that revelation he received when he was in Arabia, all those years of training where he was not even with the other apostles, he was nowhere around. He was receiving this revelation. All right, that's all right. All these epistles were mysteries that were revealed to Paul and others through praying in the Spirit. Paul and others. Peter. All right. 2 Thessalonians. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. What do you think the book of Revelation's about? It's the mystery. What mystery is that? This evil that's taken over our world. All right, secret evil at work. Mystery means secret. He has, how much has he revealed to us over the last 7 years? Think about the series that he's had me teach. I taught on TV, Full Disclosure for a year and a half, Revelation Decode for a year and a half, and now Foundation and Cornerstone. They all go together. Well, Revelation means Full Disclosure. So 3 years of disclosure, now the new millennium, where we're headed as a church. The Lord set this up. I didn't. He started leading me in those directions. He started showing me some of this mystery. All right, 1 Timothy 3:9. He says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. There's a gospel that's preached that I believe is an alternative gospel. If it doesn't have this mystery in it or involved in it, it is. You know, it's how you receive it, inside or outside. It is a mystery by the Holy Spirit, but he helps us, it's a mystery, but the Holy Spirit helps us get the revelation of that mystery. I can't even talk today. Mystery as we pray in the Spirit. He will reveal his mystery or mysteries as you pray in the Spirit. That's what revelation is, revelation knowledge. Want to know why the book of Revelation has been so hard to understand? It is a mystery that is unfolding as we have been praying in the Spirit. The church has gotten it wrong. I'm sorry. They don't have a clue. But God is revealing it today. Like I said, he doesn't do anything unless he reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Okay? All right, Revelation 1:20. That's why most people don't even read the book, because they don't like it, because they're scared of it, because of all the stuff they've heard. And then you even hear people like Brother Hagin said, I don't touch that book. He said, I ain't getting out of my anointing. Well, do you think it was my anointing? I never thought I'd do that. I mean, every book I read and every time I read it, I was more confused than I was before. It was a mystery. Book of Revelation is a mystery to everybody. That's why they avoid it. It's like it doesn't belong to the Bible. It's a separate thing over here. No, it's the unfolding of the mystery. From the foundations of the world, it is unfolding in the book of Revelation right before our eyes today. Okay, Revelation 1:20. Jesus is talking about the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Yeah. 9 and 10 here. Just a minute. I think I wrote that down wrong. That's 1:20. All right, it must be 9. Let me look. I didn't write the... Well, hold on here. Well, I don't know what I was put down there. Maybe I can find it back here. All right. You know what? If we're not in the Spirit, it's going to be impossible for us to hear it. You're not going to understand it in the flesh. You know what? This is a spiritual book, right? For spiritual people. That's why people don't read the Bible, because they don't understand it. Like I said, when my granddaughter said, well, I just don't understand any of it. I said, you just keep reading it. I said, It's feeding your spirit. Your spirit understands it. And then one of these days, what's in here is going to, you're going to have some understanding here. Yeah. All right. Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another angel come down from heaven clothed with cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his right foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth and sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and kings. All right, 17. This mystery started in Genesis. All right, 17. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. It didn't just start now. It didn't just start 7 years ago. This started when the rebellion happened. Satan came to earth. This is when it started for us. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. People are just going, you know what? They don't understand all the stuff that's going on today. Babylon rose that day in the garden. For you know it, they're building Babylon, a tower to God, so Satan can overtake God. He's been doing the same thing ever since that day. Nothing's changed. People can go right now in this with just 66 books, and they can see the plan of God in everything right here. There's somebody talking about the day. Yeah, the 777 books. I'm thinking, well, this guy said he's read it one time, and it's incomplete, so he just put it up on the shelf. And I'm going, you know what? You're not going to read 777 books if you wouldn't even read 66. Yeah. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations, filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was her name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's when it was born. When Adam fell. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I listened to a documentary today. It was on Brad Barton's channel. And this man is talking about that all wars are bankers' wars. And from the very beginning, that's what it's all been about, money. All the wars that were financed, they were all on purpose. Just right here. The blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This is mystery Babylon at work. All the wars. They talked about before Hitler, you know, before all that with World War II, Hitler's Germany had gotten away from the central bankers and Germany was flourishing. You know, they demonize anybody that they don't want in power, that tries to go against their killing and stealing and destroying to make them rich. The love of money is the root to all evil, and this is Babylon. And the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? Saddam Hussein was another one. Gaddafi was another one. They try to go against the bankers, and they're dead. JFK tried to take us off of the fiat or put us back on a silver standard. What'd they do? They killed him or whatever. Ruined his life. This is what's been going on. This is part of the mystery. This is why Jesus came. And the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. Seven mountain mandate. The church is infiltrated all seven mountains. Who needs to be in charge? The church. All seven mountains, not just the religious mountain, all seven mountains. And there were seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, goeth into perdition. All these wicked leaders, you could say they're all the beast. It is a system. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdoms as yet, or kingdom, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power to save Israel to last. Why? They're the hub. They're the deep state of the deep state. Generation after generation after generation after generation, they have done this to the people of the earth. They have killed so many Christians. The earth is just full of blood. Not even to think about the children. These are the ones that worship Baal and Moloch, eat the flesh of human flesh, drink the blood of the children. There are people that are Jews that will not associate with this bunch in Israel because it's a Rothschild operation. You know, it's not very popular, and people just, you know, because we have been propagandized concerning Israel. And anytime you say they fixed it to where anytime you say anything against them, it's, oh, you're anti-Semitic. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. We're watching it right now, y'all. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. This is why he came. This right here. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. If you want to read a book that's going to show you exactly what I'm talking about every war is a banker's war, go read The Beast from Jekyll Island. It's taken me a long time to get through this book, and I'm not through with it yet. But it tells you in detail everything, especially in this nation since 1913. When they made their pact on that stone where they had sacrificed children. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. UK, DC, Vatican. All these sites are fixing to be taken out. There's 34 sites that are going to be taken out. This is the mystery. This is why Jesus came. It's not all the mystery, but it's some of it. You know, all the parables of Jesus, he talked like that's what a parable is. It's like there's a dual meaning to try to teach us about what's really going on. You know, really, it's just very simple and all in a nutshell as far as I see it. This whole book, it all goes together. And it all reveals the mystery of where we sit today in time and what God is doing in the earth. All right? The mystery of iniquity has been revealed for all to see. It is no longer a mystery. It has been revealed. Revelation means disclosure. The Lord already told you that about the two series, Full Disclosure, Revelation Decode, and now Foundation and Cornerstone. Out of Babylon, see, we're coming out of Babylon. Babylon's being taken out, and we're about to enter into the kingdom of God. It's all been by divine design, all born of the Holy Spirit. Before it all began, it was a mystery to me, but it's no longer a mystery because God has revealed his mystery to our spirits by praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not just to pray about your things. See, he wants to reveal his secrets to us. But if we just, all we think about is my needs, my wants, my desires, all those things. No, he has a bigger plan. Like I said, you take care of his business, he takes care of your business. This is the first step to naming and mapping the powers. Whatever areas we are to map out is a mystery, but we are to pray in the Spirit. The timing, the plan, and every detail will be revealed to us. It's a no-fail operation. If we don't do it by the Spirit, we just might as well, like Brother Hagin used to say, you just might as well be quoting nursery rhymes. He's got it all. We just have to tap into it. It's really all up to us. That's what the Holy Ghost has been given to you. So the mystery can be revealed, where you're not walking in the dark and you don't know what's going on. I was talking to somebody and, how can you walk in the Spirit and everything and you're looking at everything that's going on around you? And I didn't say anything. I just thought, well, because you ought to know what's going on in your world. You ought to know. Because a lot of people don't know anything about anything. They're not discerning the times. They don't know what's happening. Well, how are you going to know that? The Holy Spirit will let you know that. But I had to do some research. It wasn't all by just praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me as I picked up His Word and started reading the book of Revelation when I didn't understand it. I still, every day, read a chapter in the book of Revelation. I read it over and over and over and over. I read this thing hundreds of times. And as I would, and I think I know all there is. I've gleaned all that there is to glean. And then one day I'll be reading one thing and something will jump out at me. And I'm thinking, oh, I never saw that. There's a lot of depth to this book. It's God's mystery. All right.